Good evening and welcome to this special live broadcast from the headquarters of the Trinitarian Bible Society. It's a pleasure to have this opportunity to say a few words about the work. It may be you are a long-term supporter of the Society. We're very pleased that you've joined in with us. Maybe you're entirely new to the work of the Society, and I trust you'll be encouraged by the things that you hear this evening. The Society has been in existence since 1831 and has been supplying scriptures all around the world in many languages for a long period of time. Last year, the Society was able to publish and distribute 10 million scripture items. These were sent out to 113 countries in 38 languages. So this is a worldwide endeavour of promoting the Word of God among all nations. Now, you may be interested in particular to know how the Society has been getting on during the lockdown period. Well, thankfully, to a large degree, the work of the Society has carried on. Members of staff that came to headquarters day by day were able to work from home, but our packing department team have been carrying on, keeping a social distance, of course, and thankfully, they've been able to send out large quantities of calendars. It's the time of year to send them out to foreign parts. It takes a long time for them to get there and to get to their final destination. So we're thankful that in God's good providence, we've been able to carry on this important activity of making God's word available for the nations of the earth. But of particular interest is the fact that during the lockdown, some new opportunities have arisen for making God's word available. We heard that a book shop in the south of England had to shut, of course, so they decided to put a box of Bibles outside the front of their shop for passers-by to take their own copy. They went within just a few days, and this gave some of us the idea that maybe we could do something similar. So, for example, outside my home, we placed a box with Bibles and a notice saying, "Free Bibles, a message of hope in the midst of the present crisis." And it was surprising just how many Bibles were taken. To date, 168 Bibles have been taken from my home address in the Bedfordshire area. But also in the town of Bedford, there's been five locations where Bibles have been taken. Over 500 to date have been taken, Bibles and New Testaments. And quite a large number of other people we've heard of who've been doing a similar thing, both here in the UK and also in other countries as well. So we are encouraged to hear of these opportunities, and we trust that God will be pleased to bless the word to many who read and study the scriptures. It just seems as if this coronavirus has shaken people, shaken their confidence, made them to realize that life is fragile and death is sure. And we trust that as a result of this, this awakened interest in the message of God's word will be a means of bringing them to know the light of Christ and salvation in him. We trust we shall hear testimonies of God's saving power as a result of this pandemic and the lockdown and all that it has entailed. I'd like to read to you a letter, an encouraging letter that comes to us from one of our contacts in Kenya, a missionary who's been working there for many years and has received large quantities of scriptures from the Society. And she recently received a large dispatch, and this was her joyful response. "Amazing. Praise the Lord. I'm so thrilled. We all are. What an enormous amount of work went into that shipment. I was so happy to get so many New Testaments. Everybody loves them. Policemen, mothers, children, youth. I have already started to distribute, sending the pocket reference Bibles and testaments to students of a college. So accept this note of grateful thanks. I'm especially grateful for the 2,500 New Testaments. These will make a great impact on many, many lives. So easy to read, so easy to keep on one's person. So powerful a blessing on every single page. Imagine those who read it for the first time. I gave one at the little kiosk where I buy newspapers. He was an old man. He recognized it as soon as he saw it, and grabbed it as though he thought someone would take it from him." And interestingly, this contact had an opportunity during the pandemic and the lockdown there in that country of Kenya She had 100 Bibles that had been sent, rather New Testaments, I think they were sent to her. And there was a large crowd of people gathered. And she was able to assure these people that they hadn't been touched by anybody since they come into the country. So it's safe for them to take one. And very soon, 100 New Testaments were gladly received by people there in that country. And as you may know, in some parts of the world, there's a real hunger and thirst for the word of God. And we trust that great blessing will be the result. Now, I'd like to say a few words about translation, because translation is a large part of the society's activity. We have around 50 translations under review. Some are very new projects. Some are ongoing after many years of work. Some are very close to being published, the whole Bible in some cases. And we're thankful for the many New Testaments and Bibles that have been published in recent years by the society. And one translation I wanted to mention is the scriptures for the Amharic-speaking people of Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia is a country where there's a population of 93 million and is a country with an African country with its own script. I can show you a copy of Words of Life calendar. This is what the script looks like. And it's the only African language with its own script. All other African languages that have been reduced to a written form use the Roman alphabet that we are used to, mainly through missionary labours, as people have reduced the word of God into their language. And so Ethiopia is an interesting country, a more advanced civilization. Now, we talk about the Horn of Africa, so the east side of Africa, and it's one of the poorest parts of Africa as a result of famine and war and communist oppression. Interestingly, Ethiopia is 8 years behind the rest of the world. That means that when we publish our Words of Life calendar, let me show you this again, we have to put two dates on it, 2012 and 2020. You may wonder why it's like that. The simple reason is that they are basing their calendar on a different calculation of the birth of Christ. Now, there's a long-standing history of gospel work in Ethiopia. There's been a Christian history there for many years, and a strong tradition that states that the gospel was first introduced as a result of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, of course, we read of him in Acts chapter 8, and the wonderful way in which, through Philip's ministry there in the dusty desert of Gaza, this man came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And fired up with zeal for the Lord, he returned, rejoicing back to Ethiopia, and it's believed he began preaching the gospel, and a work for the Lord was established in that country from that time onwards. But nevertheless, there's a continual need for the word of God in that country, and a great need for an accurate presentation of the word of God in the Amharic language. And TBS has been working on a project now for about 7 years with a very zealous brother who was born in Ethiopia. He had to flee that country because of threats from Muslims. He came over to London and had to wait some years before his wife and family could join him. But he'd been using his time to translate in an accurate form the word of God into the Amharic tongue. And for 2 or 3 years now, we've had the Gospel of John available in the Amharic language. 100,000 copies of these have been published and distributed. And our translator has been back to Ethiopia and he's been helping distribute the word of God and conducting meetings in various churches, encouraging people to take up these scriptures and also explaining to them why it's so important to have a Bible that is accurately translated from the Greek of the New Testament and the Hebrew of the Old Testament, and the importance of the principles upon which the society operates when we translate. And we are very close to publishing the whole of the New Testament, and we trust that when this is complete and they are distributed, we trust that many will come to know the truth in a saving way. The light may spread throughout that country, and God will do a great work amongst the people of that land. And There really is no substitute for the Word of God. Christ is made known to us in the pages of Holy Scripture, and it is the great ambition of the Society to be instrumental in bringing light and life through the gospel of Christ to those who are lost in sin and in the darkness of false religion and unbelief. So we value your prayer for interest regarding our Amharic translation project. Do please pray for our translator, that God's good hand may be upon him to help him and to encourage him. He may be kept well, and the scriptures may go forth with great power and blessing, that the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ may be advanced greatly by this means. The second translation I wanted to mention was the scriptures for the people of Bulgaria. Now, I haven't been to Bulgaria, but I understand it's a very beautiful country with picturesque villages, sandy beaches, and majestic mountains. But it's a country that is a very secular state and a country which needs God's word to set the people free. And we have a brother who is a native of that country, and he is burdened to bring the word of God to his fellow countrymen. He's working on a translation using the old Bulgarian Protestant Bible, and changing things where it is necessary, making it conform more closely to the original. And so far, the Gospel of John has been published, and it looks like this. Now, some time ago, I held this up at a meeting, and someone said to me, why does it say Noah on here? And why is the N back to front? Well, the N is the right way around. This is the Cyrillic alphabet, the same that's used in the Russian language and a few other languages. And this is the name John, the Gospel of John in Bulgarian. And 5,000 of these have been printed and circulated. And we trust as a result of this that others may become interested in this project. At present, we only have just one man who's working on this project. And we trust others will come forward with the necessary skills and spiritual qualifications to assist in the further advance of this work. Our translator is not particularly well at the present time, and we value your prayers for him, that God would strengthen him again and help him in this important work. We understand that soon after the time of Pentecost, the gospel reached Bulgaria. We know from the course from the scriptures it reached Greece and Macedonia, but soon after it is understood that the apostles went into Bulgaria. Then in the 9th century, two brothers from Thessalonica, Cyril and Methodius, they labored there in Bulgaria. It was Cyril who devised the Cyrillic alphabet. Today, it's, as I said, it's very secular, but something like 75% of the population would align themselves with the Orthodox Church. And sadly, in the Orthodox Church, the gospel is very much obscured. So we trust that through these scriptures, and as further publications are made in due course, we trust that many will receive God's truth and receive it in their hearts, not just read it, not just have it in their hands, but the word may reach their hearts and bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do please pray for this translation project. And so many other translations, of course, could be mentioned, but this just gives you a little insight, the flavour of things, as it were, concerning the present activities. I'd like to just move on briefly to mention one or two things that are available via our website. And our website has an increasing range of things to read, resources for understanding issues regarding translations, and also the principles upon which the Society operates, the time-honoured principles, which were in place, of course, at the time of the Reformation, and also children's resources. And one in particular help at the present time, of course, is this Bible learning program. And you can obtain a booklet from the Society. It's free. And children under the age of 11 are given a range of verses to learn. And once they've learned those verses, then they are presented with a free copy of the scriptures suitably inscribed. And then young people from the age of 11 to 15, if they learn a slightly longer section of verses, then they will be presented with a leather-bound reference Bible, again suitably inscribed. So do have a look online at Resources for Children. There's online colouring and various other things that young people would like to do. Something else that may be of interest is that, as you know, the Gospel of John is published by the Society, which is what the usual copy looks like. But sometimes we publish these scriptures in large quantities with a customized cover. And this is just one example. Now, this scheme started some years ago with an organization that was operating a scheme in America. And once they got resources for a certain city that I was going to target, they would publish 10,000 copies, and they would have a specially designed cover, which was set up by the Trinitarian Bible Society with the help of our graphic designer. And it would say something like this: the Gospel of John for the people of New York, or the Gospel of John for the people of Philadelphia. And so various American cities have been targeted with 10,000 copies of the Word of God sent to home addresses. Now, this is happening here in the UK as well. 20,000 Gospels of John have been produced for the people of Edinburgh. And more recently, this special edition here for children, in particular for Sunday school work, with a cover that has been designed with the help of our customer. And we trust this will be a great blessing. 7,000 have been published and produced, and we trust many children, young people receiving them, will be encouraged to read the Gospel of John. Let us not forget that the Apostle John tells us that he wrote his Gospel, and this was the purpose of his writing. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Well, it's a wonderful incentive to read the Gospel of John. And it may be you would like to do something like this for your county or perhaps a town or city where you live. Well, if you're able to get financial support for this, enough people perhaps to help you, then we can work with you on this in partnership, providing the Word of God specifically targeted for your county or your town or city. So something to consider, something to pray about, and we very much appreciate your ongoing interest and support in the Society's work. I'd like to bring a brief message to you from the Word of God, and I want to read just a few verses from 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. I'm going to read just four verses at the end of that chapter. 1 Peter and chapter 1 from verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, as you may know, the Apostle Peter was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to love and to reverence the incarnate word, Christ Jesus, but he also loved and reverenced the written word. And here at the end of this first chapter, he provides us with one of the great statements of the scriptures concerning the word of God itself. It is very clear, isn't it, that the apostles had a high view of the word of God. They gave to the New Testament, their own writings, the same reverence, the same authority as the Old Testament scriptures. The Old and the New Testaments belong together, of equal authority, come from the immediate divine inspiration of God. By the Holy Spirit's work, the whole scriptures have been given. But I want to notice three things very briefly here. First of all, the Word of God is pure. The Word of God is pure. It's described here in verse 23 as incorruptible, the incorruptible Word of God. God has given his Word to us. He has spoken his word. It's been recorded by chosen instruments. Moved by the Holy Spirit, they provided us with the scriptures. And it's pure because it's come from a God who is purity itself. And he has provided us with the word of truth. And the testimony of the scriptures is consistent all the way through regarding this particular point. For example, Psalm 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Or in that longest of Psalms, 119 at verse 140, it says, thy word is very pure. In Psalm 19, another psalm that speaks of God's word, at verse 8, it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then in Proverbs 13, verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. So it's not just pure in its general drift. It's not just pure in its doctrines. It's not just pure in the things it sets before us in its moral code. Every word of God is pure. And God has purposed that each word should be recorded in the Hebrew Old Testament and the received text of the Greek New Testament. Every word of God is pure. How thankful we should be that God has purposed that his word should remain pure from the very beginning of human history down to the present time. Secondly, the word of God is powerful. It says here in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Those that the Apostle Peter was addressing were people who had come to experience something, the power of divine truth. The word had been read, the word had been preached, the word had been meditated upon. By this means, it had come to their hearts with a life-giving power. They were once dead in trespasses and in sins, but now they were alive from the dead spiritually. They've been raised up from the grave of sin and death, and now they are living by the power of Christ himself. They were living as new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things had passed away. Behold, all things had become new. They had come to understand that great doctrine that sadly Nicodemus was ignorant of when he came to the Lord Jesus by night. And the Lord Jesus spoke to him very plainly concerning his need of regeneration. He must be born again. And you may notice that the word ye is plural. It's not just speaking to Nicodemus. It's a universal message. Every man, woman, boy and girl born into this world needs the power of the risen Christ to enter their hearts, to bring them from the darkness of sin and death into the light and liberty of the truth and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being born again, they prove the power of God's word. It hadn't come to them in word only, but it was in power and with an authority, the Holy Ghost applying the heart, the truths of the scriptures to their hearts. So the word of God is pure. Secondly, it is powerful. But thirdly, it is permanent. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, it wasn't the first time that this truth was brought before us in the scriptures. Throughout the whole of the word of God, it testifies that it's an enduring testimony. You may remember Isaiah 14, verse 8. The word of our God shall stand forever. A contrast is drawn here in these verses between that mortal man and the word of God. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And we know this is true, isn't it? The grass grows up fresh in the springtime. It comes to fullness in the summer. The flowers appear, but soon they wither and die, and the grass is cut down. It's a telling picture of mortal man, isn't it? That we are fading creatures. We live in a fallen world, and that we are conscious of our mortality. But in comparison, the word of God lives and abides forever. It remains true in every generation, and God has purposely seen to it that his word will remain through the ages of this world. He has providentially preserved his word. He's promised he would do so. As the psalmist testifies in Psalm 119, he says, "As for thy testimonies, I've known of old that thou hast founded them forever. The truth of the Lord endureth forever." And Peter reminds us of this important verse, important truth. It's one of the great things that seems to have been forgotten in many evangelical circles today, the providential preservation of Scripture, not just the inspiration of the Word of God when the Word of God was first given. Yes, that is believed by so many, but many have forgotten that God has promised to provide his Word intact through every generation. So it's the Word of the Lord that endureth forever. So we have something that this world needs, the Word of God. And we are privileged as a society to make the Scriptures available. And we long to be able to reach more and more people, if possible, with the truth. We are thankful for the support of so many people all around the world who pray for us and support us practically, financially. And as resources allow, we send out Scriptures freely to those who can't afford to buy them. And there are many people in this world that it's simply impossible for them to find the money to purchase the Scriptures, and yet they long for it. And it's our privilege to be able to put the Word of God in their hands. And so we continue to pray that God will send out his light and his truth, because this is the book that people need. This is God's revelation to man. To man as a sinner, yes, there's a general revelation of God in creation, but it doesn't tell us of the Saviour. But this book does. It reveals to us our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. It tells us of his willingness to suffer, bleed, and die. And he was raised again for the sinner's justification. And so we are thankful for your ongoing interest in the Society's work. And my colleague, Craig Dennison, will be speaking to you shortly concerning other aspects of the work and concerning the Word of God itself. But we're going to show you a short video in a moment concerning the distribution of the Scriptures. Do go to our website, have a look at our resources. Again, I remind you of that. And thank you so much for listening to this live broadcast. Thank you. May God bless you.